But we kick off the hour by chatting Red Sox. We're joined on the phone by our friend Jason Mastrodonato from the Boston Herald. Jason, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich. How's it going?
Doing great, and congratulations. First time we've talked to you since you got the gig at the Herald. Well done. That comes with a limo and all kinds of stuff, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I'm actually just stepping out of the limo right now.
That's what I thought. And also, congratulations, too, to your alma mater, Northeastern. Pretty nice showing for themselves in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you know what? I hate when people say that. I mean, I appreciate the gesture. don't get me wrong on that, but I hate the, well, great job showing us type of response I've been getting. It's like, I want to be at the point where people say, you know, what happened there? You guys should have won that game. That was a game that was in your hands and not just, well, nice job being involved in the game. So I think Northeastern's making a lot of strides, and I'm very impressed by that, but I wanted to see them win that game.
Let me start again. Jason, what the hell's wrong with Northeastern? They should be playing Kentucky. Come on.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, that's better. The respect that they deserve. I like that. Well, after the winter we've had, we can all use some baseball talk. Can't wait for the season to get started. And you had a terrific column talking about some things that we've learned so far about the Red Sox in preseason. And let's start at the top with the news that I'm very excited about, and it's the continued improvement of Mookie Betts, who seems to, by all accounts, have locked down that leadoff spot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any way around it. I mean, he is... done everything and more that you could ask for out of a leadoff hitter. And I keep looking back to Jacoby Ellsbury and thinking, I wonder if Mookie Betts can be even better. I mean, Jacoby was great, and he had the speed that Mookie Betts probably doesn't have. Now, Mookie's a fast kid, don't get me wrong, but he says that he's only going to steal 20 bases. I don't know if he's lying when he told me that, but you know, he's not a 70 stolen base type of guy, but I think he could have a much higher on-base percentage and Jacoby Ellsbury had, which is what you want out of that leadoff spot. For the last 2 months last year, Mookie posted a 389 OBP, which is fourth in the American League. And when you look at the guys behind him in that batting order, assuming that they're healthy, I mean, all Mookie has to do is get on base and he's going to score. So I think John Farrell's most excited about that, that he's finally found a leadoff hitter that they didn't have last year.
Well, I have high hopes for this offense because, and we did it as an exercise the other day, we went around the horn position by position, and I feel like they're better at every position this year.
Every position? Yeah, I think so too, actually. I mean, because you could count on upgrades from not just the new players, but guys that are coming back off of injuries. I mean, Dustin Pedroia is such a huge part of this lineup, and his offensive production last year was almost non-existent. I mean, he was like a league-average player. Offensively, he's still a Gold Glove winner at second base and does a lot of little things right. But to get him back fully healthy, and it looks like he is, I mean, we don't know how long he'll stay that way, but that's going to be really big for them. When you talk about having Mookie number one and Dustin Pedroia healthy, hitting balls out of the ballpark again, or at least, you know, extra base power that he didn't really have much of last year, I think that adds a huge dynamic to this team. And then you got Ortiz and Hanley and Sandoval and Napoli behind them that could drive them in. I mean, I don't see how they don't at least finish in the top three in American League in offense.
Absolutely. Now, where there are questions, and deservedly so, center around the starting rotation, no, there's no number one guy. There are some people who could emerge. Who are you confident about in that rotation?
I am in the Clay Buchholz bandwagon. I've been on this for a little while. I think, well, first of all, you look at the staff and you say, is anybody capable of winning a Cy Young? And I think Buchholz is really the guy that you look to and say, if he's right, if he's healthy, he's capable of winning a Cy Young Award. He's that good. He has obviously not been healthy for a long time, but there's something about him this spring, and this goes against everything that we learn as reporters to report the facts. It's hard to explain what the facts are, other than he just looks different this spring. I mean, I talked to some of his teammates that are saying, like, he shows up earlier. He's the first one in the weight room in the morning. He's setting an example for the other starting pitchers. He's obviously the oldest guy at age 30. But he's doing everything. And then on the field, he's pitched amazing. I mean, it was only minor leaguers that he was thrown against the other day, but he struck out 10 in 5 innings, no hits allowed. I don't care who you're pitching against. That's still impressive. If he's healthy, obviously, is always the caveat, but I really like what I'm seeing in Buchholz so far.
We're talking with Jason Mastrodonato of the Boston Herald. The bullpen, Obviously, the question about Koji and whether he'll be ready for opening day, but as you pointed out, there are some hidden gems and some pretty good power arms at the back end of that bullpen.
Yeah, there are. I mean, I think, you know, Koji's going to be a question mark all season. You have to say that. I mean, he's 40 years old, and he's pitched 155 innings over the past 2 years. There's only been four relief pitchers in baseball who have thrown that many innings in the last 2 years, and all of them are 31 or younger. And now you bring your 40-year-old into camp on a huge workload the last 2 years. So if he has to start a little late, so be it. You know, they want him ready to go at the end of the season, not so much in April. And then, yeah, you look at, I mean, Edward Mujica, I think, is a huge guy for this team because last year was really horrible for him. His 3.9 ERA was one of the worst in his career. And he was paid $9.5 million over 2 years to come in here and be a reliable setup man like he was in St. Louis until they gave him the closer's job, and he was fantastic over there for a while. And he just did not look right last year. He said he had shoulder problems, back problems, neck problems in the beginning of the year. By the end of the year, he started looking really good, and I think he had a 1.5 ERA over the last 2 months. And then you add Alexio Gondo. If he's healthy, he's throwing like 98 in camp, just looks unbelievable. And you try to figure out how you're going to do the seventh and eighth inning with Junichi Tozawa. Maybe Matt Barnes makes this team. He's been throwing 97 miles an hour. You have a new look bullpen. I know there are a lot of question marks, but with the bullpen, you don't need guarantees because you have so many pitchers that could step up. I think that the Red Sox at least have options to go to right now.
Absolutely.
And Don Farrell's going to be able to get a little creative with that.
You also mentioned the improved defense, and that's a key, especially as we've all talked about with all the ground ball pitchers that they've got on the staff, but even the outfield defense has improved.
Yeah, it is. I mean, Mookie has done a great job learning the outfield. To think that he was here in camp last year playing second base on the minor league field. You know, I saw somebody from minorleaguebaseball.com yesterday, my friend Jake Seiner, who writes for them, and I was like, oh, I haven't seen you since last year. He goes, yeah, last year I was over, you know, on field B, like, where nobody's watching. He's watching Mookie Betts, which is where, I mean, this kid has come from a second baseman in Double A to being a center fielder in the major leagues, and he looks really good at it. The one thing that they're still trying to get him better at is chasing balls behind him. So he's actually been playing shallow this spring on purpose. If you've been watching at all, he's made a couple of bad plays on balls behind him. That's because he's had to chase them so far. He's not going to have to do that in the regular season, obviously. They're going to play him back at normal depth. But he's made a ton of progress. And then, you know, people wonder if Hanley Ramirez can play left field. I don't know that the Red Sox care all that much if he could play left field. They just want this guy to hit and to be healthy. So if you got good defenders in center field and right field, that should be okay. And hopefully Hanley doesn't botch left field.
Speaking of right field, who do you think will be there on opening day? And who will end up getting most of the starts in right field?
That's two very good questions, Rich, because I think they're different answers. I think Shane Victorino is going to start on opening day. You know, this abandoning switch hitting thing some people are upset about, I actually think it's a good idea for them because he's a much better hitter right-handed, and even when he switched to right on right in 2013, those final 2 months of the season, he hit 8 home runs, went into the playoffs, hit a grand slam right-handed. So I'm okay with that. I just want him to be healthy, and I don't know that that's the case. I think with Victorino, if you could get 100 games out of him fully healthy, it's a heck of a lot better than getting 160 where he's half and half. So I think Victorino starts the year at right field there, but Ruisne Castillo has been so good. I mean, he came back after taking 2 weeks off with an oblique strain. Actually, it was almost 3 weeks off, and hits a home run his first at bat. The next day goes 2-for-3, and I know it's spring training, but these are against pretty decent pitchers that he's been facing. I just don't know how you're going to keep Castillo out of the lineup if he keeps playing like that. So we know about the logjam. They're going to have to trade somebody. But Victorino would be a very good guy to have as even a 3 to 4 times a week player and let Castillo get in the lineup somehow, whether it's right field, center field, or left field.
Jason Mastrodonato covers the Red Sox for the Boston Herald and is a proud graduate of Northeastern, the home of next year's NCAA champions in basketball. Thanks, Jason.
Exactly. All right, thanks.
We'll talk with you again soon. It's 16 after 5 o'clock. Our